Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Connell McShane from News Nation joins us. You can watch him on TV later this afternoon. Connell, welcome back to the show.
Hey, John. How's everything?
It's pretty good. By the way, you're in New York, right? Do you work downtown? Did that congestion pricing toll affect you in any way?
Not personally. I take the train to work, but it would have because it's south of 60th Street and our building's on 42nd Street. So that's the main business district, as they say. So, yeah, it does affect this area, but it doesn't affect me personally since I take the train.
I did hear that it was reducing congestion in Manhattan, right?
Yeah, I was looking at, we did a segment on it the other night when this was all this back and forth between the president, the transportation secretary, and the governor, which it's a whole tangled web here in New York that involves the mayor being in court at the time and discussions about whether the governor would kick him out of office and whether he had a quid pro quo with the president. That being said, when they got to congestion pricing, I was looking at the data, and we had a guest on it. The MTA, which is the transit authority here in New York, said the traffic was reduced in them, as they call it, the central business district, by about 7.5% in the early going. So there was data to show that that it was, you know, having the intended effect. In other words, traffic was down where it was supposed to be. There was some other data, not here from New York, but from other cities that have tried it, like London, that showed that, you know, it improved the air quality, emissions went down, and that kind of thing. So there is data to argue in favor of it. Of course, other people don't like it for other reasons. They think it puts an undue burden on people on the lower end of the income spectrum who have to drive into work every day. So it's been a big debate here. I wouldn't say it's kind of an 80-20 one way or the other. It's probably more of a 60-40. And I think, if anything, it's probably 60-40 in favor now versus early on, maybe before people saw it in action and maybe it was the other way.
Was it $9, the toll?
$9. So you got to remember the problem. The reason it does rub some people the wrong way is they're already paying a toll, especially if you're coming in from New Jersey, for example, or from Long Island on the other side, from the east side on the Midtown Tunnel. They're already paying a toll to go through the tunnel. So this is on top of that. So, you know, it can really add up. And, you know, then you have an economic argument, because if you have, you know, people coming in for deliveries, trucks and what have you, that they have added costs to their businesses. So what happens to added costs? It's like when we talk about inflation, eventually gets passed on to consumers. So people say, well, that might hurt us long term. But in the short term, in terms of making the city more functional, I mean, it's just been really, really hard, especially post-COVID, to get around this city in any kind of a vehicle. Forget your own car, but a cab or Uber. The traffic's been so bad. Going cross town one side, east to west in Manhattan, right, it takes forever. And that, to me, has gotten better. And the data does show that. So I think it was working. And some people, it's funny, some people you talk to were coming around on it. Not everybody, but some people said, well, I didn't like this at first, but you know what? I got to work a little bit quicker, and I'm working in the cost, and I'm starting to like it. So it was interesting. But then Trump came in, and he's trying to take it away now.
Yeah, Trump's presumed reach is breathtaking, isn't it? And I guess there is an argument to be made that as those are federal interstate highways that go in and out of the city or state can't impose a fine. It's a federal thing, and all things federal are Donald Trump, and so he put the kibosh on it. What's the status of that now?
Yeah, the governor's suing, so it's going to be held up in the courts for a while, I think. The way it was explained to me is that, to your point about the federal government, they were using their authority over tolls, the tolling authority, as part of it. And the other thing is that when they were looking into using congestion pricing or implementing it, and it's been debated for years and years here in New York, I think there was federal funding that went into some of that, you know, the studying of it and the, you know, piloting it and that kind of thing. So their argument is that they have some authority because of that, and because of their authority over the tolling system. Governor sees it differently, of course. Says, no, literally said, oh, we'll see you in court. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to get hung up in the courts. And, I think the president thinks, and he may be right about part of this, that this is one of these kind of popular issues, especially with, you know, working class people, that he can attach himself to. He's from New York, of course, and people say, yeah, this is stupid, get rid of it. And I think, you know, a few months ago, he probably would be more right than he is now. I think it's now more of a mixed issue. It'd be interesting if it goes away that some people might be like, oh, man, this was actually something that worked, and now it's gone. So it's interesting. It's not something that everybody sees the same way.
Yeah, we're considering it in Chicago, although in Chicago, yeah, we need more people to come downtown. Our congestion isn't in the city. It's on the highways going in and out, and maybe somehow that's the same thing. But
that's another issue, by the way, John, here, because the highways outside the Manhattan Central Business District, like in the outer boroughs and the Bronx, yeah, and Queens, and so there's some arguing that the traffic is higher there. But I haven't seen data to support that. In fact, I drive a lot in those highways. I think the traffic's anything improved, you know, versus what it was all around. Like, people are just driving less because of this. More people taking the trains all over, yeah, the city.
Kathy Hochul has to decide if she's got a case here. But her biggest decision may be whether or not to try and push Eric Adams out of the New York City's mayor's office. Mm-hmm. That's not why we asked you to join us today. But the last I read, that was that maybe she won't, just because as a matter of function, Eric Adams was elected by the people, and whatever the deal is he has with Trump, or whatever the allegations against him with campaign contributions from Turkish nationals, good Lord, it's not her job to kick out somebody that's unpopular.
Right. She does, you know, most people think, have the authority the way the city charter is written, but she'd be the first person to ever do it. No governor has ever done it in the history of, yeah, New York State and New York City. And there have been many governors, even when they're from the same party, that don't see eye to eye in the past. So it's not like it hasn't come up and been talked about or debated, but it's never happened. And I think part of it, and she did seem to say that, she said yesterday, by the way, that she's not going to exercise this authority, at least right away. So yeah, she seems to have punted on the issue, which does make a lot of political sense, if only because there's an election coming up, the primaries in a few months and the general in the fall. So the people can decide if they don't want to have Mayor Adams around, they can kick him out, you know, pretty soon. If the election was a few years from now, maybe we'd be having a different conversation, but it's coming up soon.
Elon Musk took a chainsaw to CPAC. The president will yet also speak there about the cutting that Elon Musk is being asked to do, or Musk is asking other people to do. He seems to be gleeful about it. He's silly at times, and I get the imagery of a chainsaw, but that's probably more apropos than most people would like. But I do see that they're going to go after the Department of Defense, too. And Tommy Tuberville, among others, wholeheartedly supports that. While that would seem to be something that an agency that the Republicans would favor, it sounds like there is no department that's being spared. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I mean, and that's smart politically, I think, for them. You know, people probably thought when you started setting this up that you were using some sort of a metaphor, that he's taking a chainsaw. No, he literally had a chainsaw at the conference, yeah, but that was, yeah, on stage. I think what happens now, think about it from the Democrats' point of view. If you want to argue against this, what are you defending? You're defending bureaucratic slowdowns. You know, you're basically standing up for the bureaucracy. That's a tough thing to do politically, and especially if they say, "Well, no, we're not doing this as was accused at first to, you know, get back at people we don't like, or, you know, take something out on someone politically because we disagree. We're going into the Department of Defense. Republicans love defense spending. I've always supported it. And we're going to take a look there, too. And, you know, if there's fraud, waste, and abuse, we'll cut that out." Those are really strong political arguments. It's almost like the foreign aid thing, right? They started with foreign aid. That was on purpose. And you saw some Democrats, Rahm Emanuel, David Axelrod, and others saying, be careful before you fight back against this. Now you see why. You see, the president the other night, we had him on our air, actually, and he was going on and on. It sounds kind of funny, but he ends up talking about, like, circumcisions in Mozambique, right? Did you see? I don't know if you saw this, but he gets up and he says, "Oh yeah, what are we spending on circumcisions in Mozambique? What does that even mean?" You know. So even if you're going to sit there and defend that, and now, by the way, there's defense. You can make like an intellectual argument to defend a lot of what the foreign aid is, right? Even you could say, "Well, we have this program; it helps our interests, so and so." But if the president can stand up and make these arguments, It's a tough thing to come back from on the other side. So I think he's boxed the Democrats politically into a tough spot, make them defend things that it's tough for them to defend. And by using it, to your point, against all of the departments, he set himself up to, again, make it tougher for the other side. And that's what this is this all about. So there's some method to the madness.
I suppose the strategy for the Democrats has to be pick your fights. Some of the things that Elon Musk and Donald Trump are saying are nonsensical, inconsequential, or just not true. So don't take the bait. But other times you do. And it doesn't seem like the Democrats have figured out which are which. You will be talking about this and other news on News Nation today, 2 to 5 p.m. our time. Comcast 223, Direct and Dish as well. Connell McShane. Always nice to talk to you on Fridays, Connell. My best to your family and friends.
Same to all of you and yours, John. I'll talk to you next week.